wisdom for tomorrow today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is Consider His Word. Today, we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. Join Pastor Arlen Payne as he opens the Bible and helps us consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. We're glad that you could join us today, and today we're going to be doing something different. We're going to take a break from our usual Bible study in Psalm 119. We're going to be doing a special Christmas broadcast today. I have my wife with me here today, and I'm glad that she could join us, and she's going to be reading a few poems for us, and we're going to be reading some scripture and some things like that. And we hope you'll just stay with us, and we just want to kind of think of this as a just kind of a Christmas visit and share some Christmas memories and things like that. We have a couple poems we want to read, and we have a passage of scripture we want to read. We want to encourage you that you would have Christ at the center of your Christmas this year, to give him his place. I know that there's that tension between secular and having a spiritual Christmas, and I know as a child growing up, I was kind of confused about what Christmas was about. But you know, we would not have Christmas, and we would not have the Christmas celebrations or Christmas seasons if it were not for Christ being born on this earth. And so even in our broadcast, we want to kind of keep Jesus at the center. And I want to encourage you at home that you would take time to talk to your kids and talk to your family about Christmas and what it means. Not just meaning in the birth of a Savior, but that he came to save us from our sin. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He not only gave him in a manger, but he also gave him at the cross. When our children were little, they're all grown up now. On Christmas morning, we did not have Santa. He did not come and visit our house. Now, we did have the presents, and we would put the Christmas presents out on Sunday morning, and it was always so much fun when the kids would get up and they would see their new toys or new things that they got for Christmas. But there was a point when we would set them down and we would take the time to read through the Christmas story, particularly in Luke chapter 2. We would gather around in the living room. My wife would fix a special breakfast for us. Our breakfast was chocolate gravy. Now, have you ever heard of chocolate gravy? It's a great breakfast that comes out of Arkansas and the Midwest, and my mom made it when we were growing up, and we continued that tradition in our family that my wife would make us some chocolate gravy and some homemade biscuits. But even before all of that, and before we really opened our presents, we would sit down together and read from Luke chapter 2.
By the time our children were very old, they would had it so memorized that they would quote it along as Dad read it.
Yeah, we would read it, and they would just quote it word for word all the way through. So let's begin with that. Today, we're going to be in reading in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to have my wife start. By the way, her name is Lana, and she's going to start the passage of Scripture, and then I'll follow along with her.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with them and the angel of the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I want to encourage you and your family to take time, whether it be on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, but sometime around the Christmas holiday, to sit down and read through this passage of Scripture. In the Bible, there's two places where the Christmas story is found. One is here in Luke chapter 2. The other one is Matthew chapter 1, about halfway down or so. So either one of those passages of Scripture would be great. Every year, there are two poems that I pull out and read again. And I guess I've done this for many years. Can't even tell you for sure how long. But I go back and rehearse them again and read them again. I'm going to have my wife come and read one of these poems to you.
The poem is called Christmas, and it was written by our daughter when she was young. Christmas is a time of joy, a time of rejoicing for every girl and boy, a time for bright colors like red and green, a time for a tree and a popcorn string, a busy time for Santa Claus bringing us toys, games, and furry paws, a time for patience throughout the wait, a time to be kind to those you hate. A time for a great anticipation to make its way across our nation. But is this all that Christmas means? Or is there a message this holiday brings? Wise men from the east followed the star. Shepherds came to a humble barn. God's one and only begotten Son was sent to the earth as the crucified one. So as you open your gifts on Christmas morn, remember the King who so humbly was born.
Our daughter wrote that when she was only about 9 or 10 years old, and I had a copy of it, and every year I pull it out and read it again. There's another poem that I like to read every year. It's really not a poem so much as it is a story. And I've heard this recorded by a number of artists. I know Grandpa Jones made a recording of it, and there are many others who've recorded it in the past. I'd always like to come back and hear it again or read it again. It's called A Christmas Guest. It goes like this. It happened one day near December's end, two neighbors called on an old-time friend, and they found his shop so meager and mean, made gay with 1,000 boughs of green. And Conrad was sitting with face ashine, when he suddenly stopped as he stitched a twine, and he said, Old friends, at dawn today, when the cock was crowing the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said, I am coming your guest to be. So I've been busy with feet astir, strewing my shop with branches of fir. The table is spread and the kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. Now I will wait for my Lord to appear and listen closely so I will hear his step as he nears my humble place. And I open the door and look in his face. So his friends went home and left Conrad alone, for this was the happiest day he had known. For long since his family had passed away and Conrad had spent many a sad Christmas day. But he knew with the Lord as his guest this Christmas would be the dearest and best. So he listened with only joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise with a start and look for the Lord to be standing there in answer to his earnest prayer. So he ran to the window after hearing a sound, but all that he saw on the snow-covered ground was a shaggy beggar whose shoes were torn and all his clothes were ragged and worn. But Conrad was touched and went to the door. He said, "Your feet must be frozen and sore. I have some shoes in my shop for you and a coat that will keep you warmer too." So with grateful heart, the man went away. But as Conrad noticed the time of day, he wondered what made the dear Lord so late and how much longer he would have to wait. When he heard a knock at the door, he ran, but it was only a stranger once more. A bent old lady with a shawl of black and a bundle of kindling piled on her back. She asked for only a place to rest, but that was reserved for Conrad's great guest. Yet her voice seemed to plead, "Don't send me away. Let me rest for a while on Christmas Day." So Conrad brewing her a steaming cup and told her to sit at the table and sup. But after she left, he was filled with dismay, for he saw that the hours were passing away and the Lord had not come, as he said he would, and Conrad felt sure he had misunderstood. When out of the stillness he heard a cry, "Please help me and tell me, where am I?" So again he opened his friendly door and stood disappointed as twice before. It was only a child who had wandered away and lost from her family on Christmas Day. Again Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew he should make this little child glad. So he called her in and wiped her tears and quieted her childish fears. Then he led her back to her home once more. But as he entered his own darkened door, he knew that the Lord was not coming today, for the hours of Christmas had passed away. So he went to his room, knelt down to pray. He said, "Dear Lord, why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me, for I wanted so much to see your face?" Then soft in the silence, a voice he heard, "Lift up your head, for I kept my word. 3 times my shadow crossed your floor, 3 times I came to your lonely door. For I was the beggar with bruised cold feet, I was the woman you gave something to eat, and I was the child on the homeless street. 3 times I knocked, and 3 times I came in, each time I found the warmth of the friend. Of all the gifts, love is best, and I was honored to be your Christmas guest."
His word will give you wisdom for tomorrow, today. His word will give you hopes you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy, His word will grow your faith. Consider His word. Consider His word. Consider His word.
Thank you for listening today. Visit our website at www.considerhisword.org. Please pray for this ministry and join us next week when once again we open God's book and consider His word.
Consider His word.